Dear Father, in the precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray that you would encourage every heart today from heaven. When you said, our dear Lord, you said that it's good for you, it's better for you that I go away, that the Comforter comes. Comforter will come. And then he will do these wonderful things for you by indwelling and bringing the reality of Yeshua, redemption, the power of redemption, the blood, all this to you. So Father, thank you that you can help us through scriptures to get a little glimpse of that in your precious name. Amen. So welcome everyone, and I gave a little greeting from the prayer breakfast that is happening now at Astoria Hotel. There are many, many dignitaries, government people, prayer leaders, believers that support Israel from all over the world, and Israeli government members. And one of them was telling me that it was amazing how they were singing these songs of praise together with the believers, who are very much in the same spirit and without any problem. And this is beautiful. God is doing something marvelous. Another thing I might mention before we go to the text is that I met a wonderful man who's gathering people from America, young, strong people who help in Judea and Samaria to harvest, to harvest and work on the fruit trees. He's organizing these things and he's there with them. And then the contact with the Jewish people that wear this kind of head covering is wonderful. And so sometimes, you know, this world is this world of the believers who read the Greek New Testament, and the world of the believers who read only the Hebrew first part of the Bible. So the conversations, the friendship and everything, and the openness is working slowly, little by little. But this is a practical testimony. This is a practical testimony, and we thank God for that. So many people are praying for Jerusalem. Many people are here just to intercede, and strong prayers. Michelle Bachmann, the congresswoman, some years ago, and many, many others. Mike Evans' testimony was really quite amazing, because he, many years ago, he went into Menachem Begin, when he was the prime minister, to his office, and he said that he had something to tell him from God. And Menachem, but he didn't know what it was yet. And so Menachem Begin invited him and received him. And he said, but do you know what your message is? He said, I don't know yet, but I have a message. I don't know yet what it is. I'm waiting. And Menachem Begin said, you are the most honest man I ever met. So come back when you get the message. And he came back and he had a message. And his message was something that happened 100% to Israel. And then there was the beginning of the connection of Israel and evangelical world, and a prayer support for the evangelical world. And he told Begin, he said, I have a vision now that we will start friendship between evangelicals and Israel, because we need others. And now what has happened with it? All kinds of Christian embassies and different centers. Okay, but now that's all I need to say about that. Let's go to the subject of the Holy Spirit. So in the name of our Lord, thank you, Father, in the name of Maran Yeshua Mashiach. Maran Yeshua Mashiach. Open up your word to us. Amen. Acts 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached the Messiah to them. So what did he preach? The Messiah. And the people gave, with one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, there were many miracles. But you'll see in the next verse, unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed, and many taken with palsies that they were lame were healed. Marvelous healings and freedom. But there's one difference, my friends, one difference. When Yeshua set people free from unclean spirits, he usually said to them, be quiet, say nothing, and go out. So people often like noise, a lot of noise. But Yeshua did not want attention to these bad spirits. Just get them out of the way and all attention to him. But people like noise. Even today, many people think that God is in the noise. Now, God can be there present when there's noise. But the noise is not the thing. It's the Holy Spirit who lifts up Yeshua. But these miracles are real. So, then it says, and people are so blessed. They see that the same kind of things that Yeshua did are happening now. This is simply amazing. So, it looks like Yeshua hasn't left. Well, he is here. Verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. And it is correct that we, Holy Spirit brings joy. There's forgiveness. There's the message. Your sins are forgiven. You remember Peter in Acts 13? When he spoke that through him, the Messiah, you are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And when he spoke, no, that was Paul, I'm sorry, that was Paul. But when Peter spoke in Acts 10, yeah, Peter spoke in Acts 10, Paul spoke in Acts 13. Peter spoke in Acts 10. My mind is still in the conference a little bit. So he said, to you is preached the forgiveness of sins. While he yet spoke, the Holy Spirit was upon them. And then happened miracles. But this word, your sins are forgiven, brought them the freedom. Brought them the freedom and brought them the witness of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, even if we had all the miracles in the world and we could get free from all the sicknesses and get even eternal youth, what they're marketing now through AI, and I don't really believe in that. I believe eternal youth comes only through our Messiah. But listen, if we got all these benefits, and burdens of our heart would not be gone, we would still have the guilt deep in our hearts. It would not be enough. It would not be enough. Remember when they brought the man through the roof to in front of Yeshua, and the man was lame, needed healing. Yeshua said, son, your sins are forgiven you. That was the first thing. And if we are forgiven our sins, then even we suffer, it is bearable, because we know we have eternity with God and we have that peace and all things work together. But by all means, I'm also a person that believes in praying for the sick. I do believe. So to get that order there, that God is perfect. And so there was great joy in Samaria, verse 8. But even that wasn't enough. The miracles weren't enough. Even the joy wasn't enough. And then there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, in the time, used sorcery, you know, used tricks. How many people today are using tricks when it comes to the miracles or things? People are tempted to use tricks, even sorcery, like witchcraft, and bewitch the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one. Temptation of the flesh. I am great. I am powerful. And this is the temptation of our time, that people could use miracles to be great themselves. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. But I believe it's the way that Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, we are weak, and in our weakness his power is made perfect, because it's the power of grace. So if we have grace, we say, I am not anything in myself. I'm an ordinary person, and only God is great. Only the Messiah is great. Only redemption is great. You believe this with me, right?
Amen.
And so we have to watch the temptation also, that when some people may not be wise and they speak a lot of miracles, I don't condemn the fact that God can help people with great miracles. I have experienced several miracles that are really great. But our attention is not on anything else than God, His Messiah, His salvation, His Word, and we are one body in Him. Let's go to verse 10. So all the people gave attention to this man called Simon, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But you know what is interesting? When people do different kinds of tricks, when people do different kinds of tricks, and God help us, there's all kinds of palm readers that read you the future. These are dangerous things. But you know what is interesting? They all want cash. They all want money. For $20 or $10 or 15 shekels or 50 shekels, I can tell you this and that. We don't want this. We don't want this. And you'll see something interesting. When they believed Philip preaching the kingdom of God in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, that's how it's in Aramaic, they were baptized, both men and women. So they believed. Simon himself believed. He believed and he was baptized, continued with Philip and wondering, beholding the miracles and signs that were done. So he said, oh wow, this man has more power than I have. Mistake, The power was not his. It was God. It was the name of Yeshua. The person of Yeshua did set people free. Okay, so Philip is doing these things. So Simon says something very, very amazing. Let's see. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, or that is Simon Kepha and Johanna, who when they were come down, prayed concerning them, and that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Here's the point. They had miracles, but they needed the Holy Spirit. They needed God, not just the works of God. They needed the Holy Spirit. I believe if we are believers, we do have the Holy Spirit. We do have the Holy Spirit, but we need the Holy Spirit. For what? The four things that are in the book of John, I will talk about it. But we really need the Holy Spirit. So, for he was not yet upon none of them. They were only baptized in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The English Bible said he was not fallen. Aramaic Bible doesn't say fallen, because Holy Spirit is personal. Holy Spirit is personal. So it's a little bit difficult to understand that fallen. Okay, either way, but in this text, he was not yet upon them. Salah is, the Hebrew word is better than Nafal. So, they were only baptized in the name of the Lord Yeshua. And they laid their hands on them, over them, upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know what happened. In the book of Acts, sometimes people were prophesying, sometimes they were just praising God and excited, and sometimes they spoke with languages and tongues. We don't have any information how they saw. But you know what? They saw. They were different. They saw. Now, the Holy Spirit came on them. They were different. They were different. That's the key. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is a person in God. We could use these human words, they're human expressions. And they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Okay. Money. I got a lot of money here. So I'm willing to pay, but I want this power. This is dangerous. I want power, but I don't want God. I want power, but he didn't understand his own heart. Yeah. There's a lot of attention to power today. I do not deny power. We do not deny power. But there's sometimes attention to the fame and to the way of we can get money if we have power. And so, what was the problem then? And why didn't they receive the Holy Spirit right away? Why didn't they receive the Holy Spirit right away when they believed? This is what normally happens. When I believed, I was a different man that moment. And everybody could tell me, even my mother said to me, what happened to you? You are different. You are revived. Yeah. One wise man who was teaching the Bible in China many years ago, I think that he really put his finger on this problem. why the people, not just Simon, but why the people did not receive the Holy Spirit at the same time when they believed. There was bad attitudes, bitterness in the hearts of the Samaritans towards the Jews. And also there was a problem from the Jewish side towards Samaritans. How do we know that? You remember the two sons of thunder, when the Samaritans didn't want to receive Yeshua, they said, "Lord, shall we call fire now from heaven?" It's in the Bible, Eliyahu did it, so it's biblical. Shall we call fire? The Lord said, No, you don't know what spirit you are of. This is not about calling fire. I came to save." So the problem is on both sides. But the Samaritan people had bad attitude towards Jerusalem. It started back in a history, and I could even go into it, but I won't today, other than they had another temple in Samaria that they built because they didn't want to come to Jerusalem. They didn't believe that Jerusalem is the place that God had chosen. Okay, so they had bitterness. So until that attitude towards Jerusalem, Israel, was removed, they could not receive the Holy Spirit, at least not in fullness, that the Holy Spirit came on them, that they were changed, became different people. Absolutely. Okay. Here's the thing. When the apostles that came from Jerusalem, they allowed these apostles to pray, then they received the Holy Spirit. They had to humble themselves to have this healing for this bad attitude. And then the Holy Spirit had a free way. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. As we are in the topic of Pentecost and all these things, it has happened to many congregations among the nations and many individuals that believed, and they had the spirit of faith in them, but they had bad attitude towards the Jewish nation, and they had somewhat like bitterness against the Jewish nation as the people of God, always pointing to the faults. And when they began to pray for Israel, Holy Spirit began to move more open. The scriptures were open. Prayers began to work. New life began to flow. And all kinds of things. Maybe even miracles of healing. All kinds of things. So the healing happens when relationship was corrected. Or in this case, the flow of the Spirit, if I use that word, fell or came down upon them. So they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. So they consciously received the Holy Spirit. I believe in praying, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse my heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit." Then we don't need to argue, are the gifts working this way or that way? We don't need to argue. The point is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And verse 18, "And when Simon saw that through laying on of apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." Now money comes to question. Oi, this is bad. They said to these apostles, "Give me also this power." But the Aramaic word is sultana, like sultana. Give me this authority, like sultan in Turkey had the authority. Give me this authority. It's not like some sign, but authority. That on whoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. And what was in his mind? I give you money. He was probably willing to give a lot of money. So he thought, now I have this power, and I can use this power anytime, and I can have a lot of money. That was his plan. I have new level to my power. That was really, really bad. Really bad. Because Holy Spirit is not a thing, not a thing we can use. We don't use Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit uses us. Even the apostles, at times, many people were healed, and sometimes only one person was healed, and one time Paul left Timothy sick because he needed some medical help for his stomach. Yes. And so the apostles did not use the Holy Spirit they wanted, the way they wanted. No, as they were dependent on the Holy Spirit, one got help here, another there. It wasn't that they went to hospitals and cleaned all the hospital. Even Yeshua didn't do that. At the pool of Siloam, he healed one person because that was the will of God at that time. Another time, everybody that came to him that one evening, they laid them at his feet and everyone got healed. But it was as God was leading. We don't use the Holy Spirit. We say, God, I'm here. I'm at your service. I don't have anything of myself. But you use us as you will. All glory to God. So let's see what happened. So Peter said unto him, thy money perish with you, with thee. Your money perish with you. That's a strong word, my friends. Because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. So, you thought that you can buy a gift of God with money? Or the gift of God? You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness and pray to God. Pray. If maybe, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, pray quickly. This is very bad sin. That you want to buy the Holy Spirit with money. And what does he say? Simon said, pray you to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. So he realized his mistake, but he said, you pray. He should have prayed himself, but he didn't pray. He said, you pray. So there are people, maybe, that think I can with money buy authority. On the earth you can buy authority with money. Before God, we can buy nothing with money. Can we buy the Holy Spirit, or let's say the blessing of the Holy Spirit, with good works? No. Can we buy with, we decide to be obedient from morning till night, and that would be a very good desire, of course. But can we buy this way the Holy Spirit? No. With great promises. No, if I do this and I do this and I do this, then I really will be blessed. No, no, because we're talking about the gift of God, God's gracious heart. Our relationship to Him is based on the gift of the redemption on the cross. Gift of life, human life, everything. Gift of eternal life. One gift that I really appreciate so highly is the forgiveness of sins. And the freedom of the heart to be his child without being under condemning finger. I want to say very carefully here, I just met recently one brother, a good brother in the Lord, and he was in a congregation, I will not say name, so want to make anyone feel bad, but he was in a congregation and he felt all the years he was that he was under a big finger, and everybody else, that if anybody was coming short of something, you must do better. No, you're not right. You're not right. You're not right. And the leadership was like always looking for what is wrong with people and then telling them they must do better. And this man could not take it anymore. He could not take it anymore. And needless to say, he had to change a place where they can change a place where it's a smiling face of God, because the work is finished. And now God is a father and not the angry God. But he told me honestly, healing like this does take some time, and you have to sit under hearing of the gracious word of God. You have to sit under the gracious word of God, and you would not know who this brother is, and I will not, of course, try to tell anyone secrets, because this kind of thing is happening many times. So let's go to the four promises quickly before we close this part. When Yeshua was here, he looked at the disciples and he knew what was in their heart. He was saying, I'm going away. I'm going to the Father. And he knew the fears they had. And he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. But the way he comes is another way, through the Spirit. Spirit of grace. Spirit of strength. Spirit of comfort. So in these four chapters, three chapters, Yohanan, John 14, 15, and 16, he's telling us the good news. And I've been on this road many, many years. More than 50 years? Oh, yeah. A lot more than 50 years. But I'm still asking myself, have I really captured the reality of these four things, what Yeshua is saying here. And that's, if we capture them, then we love people. And we're not serving because we are under a big condemning finger, but we have a life. We have a river that bubbles up. So John 14, and I'm only concentrating on the mentions of the Holy Spirit briefly. He says in verse, boy, I don't know where to start, this is so wonderful, but let's start from verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are not hard. It's to abide in him, which means to be glued to the word of God, let that work in our hearts, to be filled with his kindness and his spirit, to love one another and to believe in his name. These are really the commandments. And then the outcome is service. We give the word to others and we love one another. And the big thing, like what was in Acts 8, to forgive, to leave the bitterness away and forgive. My friends, I do not believe that people can be filled with the Holy Spirit really without living in forgiveness. People can see miracles because gifts can be there, but really to be filled with God, I don't believe it's possible without receiving forgiveness and forgiving. So if we don't forgive, it costs us more than forgiving. It costs us more. It costs us to be short of His fullness. And that's what we don't want. So, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Some translations also say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Or keep my commandments. Yes. If we love Him, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. His commandments are not hard. And I will pray the Father. I mean, His commandments are not burdensome, like grievous, heavy. And I will pray the Father. Yeah. Yeah, we pray, but when He says, I will pray the Father, that has a lot of meaning. And He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. For those that are really interested in details of the Scripture, sometimes the Holy Spirit is in masculine and sometimes in feminine. That's the way the Spirit is in Hebrew and in Aramaic New Testament. And we're not to think of God like human man and human woman, but there's a correspondence, but it's not the same. And then, that she may abide with you forever. In Aramaic, it's literally like this. But some people don't understand that, how good it be, so I'm not talking about it more. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see. So the first purpose of the Holy Spirit is to be with us forever. That's the God that will never depart from us. Even if we fail, He could be sad, but will not leave. I'm here for you. I wait until you say, I need to be cleansed. I need forgiveness. I'm here. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm going to be with you forever. Yes. The Spirit of truth. Wonderful. Truth. Are they the same? The truth and the Spirit of truth. Are they the same? Mm-hmm. Yes, but there's a difference. Some people say, this is the truth. This is the fact. This is my doctrine. And they fight another one and say, no, this is not right. We are wrong. I got better verses than you. And they fight. You know what? If we have the Spirit of truth, we do not compromise with the Word, but we see it deeper. We see it deeper. So it doesn't end up with an argument, but we actually know what He means by this verse. So the Spirit of truth, who is the real teacher, whom the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. And if it's us believers, He is in us. Okay. World cannot see. You remember in Acts 8, they saw the miracles. Simon saw the miracles. History says his name is Simon Magnus, but never mind. They saw things, but they cannot see the Holy Spirit. So they think it's some power that can be used. No, but you know the Holy Spirit, my friend. we can be confident that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, has come as we receive Yeshua to be with us forever, never to leave us. And that's why his name in the Greek Testament is Comforter, and in the Aramaic Testament is the one who separates us from the curse of the old creation. He separates us from that. And in New in Greek Testament, Comforter, both are true. And so I will not leave you orphans, verse 18. So to be with us forever and to be the presence of Yeshua. I will not leave you orphans, said Yeshua. I will come to you. Yeshua, you just said you go away, but you say, I will come to you. Yes, because when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the open heaven in your heart, and you have Yeshua. Yeshua is in our heart when you have the Holy Spirit. Not the way we see, but the way we know by the Spirit of truth. Second thing, John 15:26. The Comforter. Comforter. Do you need comfort? I do. Do you need comfort even when I'm sitting in the traffic and alone and the pressures of the world and sometimes our strength is weaker? Yes. When our thoughts are troubling us and devil sends accusing thoughts, do we need the comfort? And the comfort of the Holy Spirit is in the body of the Messiah. So that's why also the Bible says, comfort ye one another with these words. Mm-hmm. And in the context of the words that he's coming back and we'll see his face soon without the flesh in the white garments. Yes. So the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The Father sends in my name. The Spirit of the Father, he shall teach you all things. Okay, so he to be with us, to comfort us, to teach us, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you. So we need his presence, we need his comfort, we need his teachings. Do you long to be taught by the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can teach you the Word? Amen. By the spoken Word, yes, listen to the teaching of the leaders and the word as it is taught, yes. But do you believe that when you're listening, the Holy Spirit makes it alive to you, to your situation? And then when you are alone, reading, meditating, then you can have the highest teacher in the universe.
Amen.
A teacher that is in none of these universities on the earth. There's no college, university, degree that can teach as well as the Holy Spirit. And that teacher is in you. Have I really tapped into this? I have, but enough? No, not enough. I got a long way to go. So he is there to teach us. To teach us. And he always teaches us with the Word. And it needs to be an agreement with the Word. Okay, next thing. Chapter 15. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Okay, Yeshua said, I pray to the Father, and he will send to you, or was it give you, he shall, the Father will send in my name. But now he says, I will send. Why is that so? Because what the Father is doing, the Son is doing. What the Son is doing, the Father is doing. Because God is love. God is perfect love, perfect agreement. I don't mean to make this like a theological point, even though it is good theology, but this is the spirit of love, oneness, and so it's that family spirit, God's family spirit, that fills the family of God, if we allow Him. So the Comforter will come, whom I'll send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, Spirit of truth, there it is again, which proceeds from the Father. He shall testify of me. So He testifies of the Scripture, but it's more than that. Yeshua is in every Scripture. The fellowship of the Father and the Son is in every Scripture. And that's why also the bad attitude in Samaria needed to be corrected so that the Spirit can minister and testify. Proceeds from the Father, He shall testify me. Ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, we have not been the same way with Yeshua as the apostles, watching the earthly miracles. But you know what? We have been with Yeshua. And what we know of Him, we testify. No one can tell us that this is not your experience. No one can tell us you have not met Yeshua in your heart and it's not real. No one can tell us you don't have a new heart. It's your imagination. They say it's all virtual experience. No, it's not a virtual experience. It's real. It's real. Okay, so we've seen that He come to be with us. His desire to teach us to bring us to all the truth, to comfort us, and then to help us to testify. And then two things from chapter 16, and then I will stall it. Okay. John 16, verses 6 and 7. And because I have said these things unto you, meaning that I am going away, sorrow has filled your heart. Are you sorrowful? Are you sorry? Am I sorry? I can be sorry for many things, but I cannot be sorry for the reason that God is not with us and in us, because He is. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is the truth. It is expedient. It's better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. If I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. So it's better for us. And when He's come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. This is a teaching in itself. But I'll just say that He will convince the world. We can only testify, and our lives can testify, and our words can testify with the Bible, and we do it. We do it. But the Holy Spirit will be on the person and say, "That's right. That's right. That's right." I remember many years ago when I heard someone speak about these things, and it's like someone would have been saying to me, "That's right. That is the truth. That is the truth. What they say about sin and what they say about payment done for sin and turning from the old to the new life, leaving the Egypt and coming to the new in this picture." And when I heard this, I knew it's right. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is witnessing He's witnessing. And verse 13. However, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. Does it mean that we'll have a perfect understanding of things before we reach the kingdom of God? No, but He'll guide us to all truth. That one person sees one thing better, another person sees another thing better, another teacher and another disciple sees another thing better. And we're learning from the Bible, and we're learning from one another, we're learning from those that God has called to teach and preach. So we're learning together the all truth corporately. And no one will be able to say, I understand the whole Bible better, I mean perfectly, from the beginning till the end. No, we don't have such a person. We have good teachers. Yes, some very good teachers. But only He has the whole truth, and He shares it with the whole body. That's why I need the body. I need you. I need what's going on in the conference in America. I need what's going on in the prayer conferences where people are praying. I need the body. I need you. It's a divine thing, this life, which is no condemning life. He'll guide you to all truth, for He shall not speak from Himself. He will not speak from His own source. He will not invent anything, but whatever He shall hear, He shall speak. So the Holy Spirit keeps hearing throughout the 2,000 years of history of this mystery. The Holy Spirit keeps always hearing what is the fellowship of the Father and the Son, and He will speak, and He will show you things to come. Hey, this is big. What is going on in heaven right now, the Holy Spirit is pointing to those truths in the Bible. He's opening our heart to those truths. And even if I read the news a little bit, we don't need to know a lot of news, a little bit. But when I read what is happening, Holy Spirit is saying, look, this is the chapter what we need to understand now, that you can go through this thing. And this is the verse that you need to understand. He will guide us into what God is doing now, and He will show you things to come. That means Bible prophecy, as it's written, I don't mean people's imagination. We can imagine different things. Sometimes it can be good, sometimes no good. But as it is written, He will show us how it's happening as it is written. He will show you things to come. I've had many times when I see things that are happening, and I pray, the Holy Spirit quickens certain chapter to me. Read this chapter. It comes to my mind. It's alive. And so we'll never separate from Him, from His teaching, from the wonderful things. And let me just wrap it up with this. What the Holy Spirit is all about, this wonderful divine person. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. So Simon, in Acts 8, you wanted to give a lot of money to have this power and authority to make many miracles. You want to be the big guy? No. Holy Spirit will never agree with this. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and show it to you. This is the most exciting life. Our God is living. Our God is doing miracles. But the miracles are Yeshua. It's Him It's about Him. It's not about tricks. It's not about anything else. And I won't even argue with people. Some people say, the miracles, only this miracle works and this miracle doesn't. It's about Yeshua. It's not about arguments. And He will get all the glory. And one more thing. We are not living under this condemning finger. This is wrong again, and this is wrong again. No. He will show us what we need to know, what is not true, and then He will show us the cross where He corrected it, and then He will say, will you agree and I will cleanse you again? And I'll say, of course, I will. Thank you again, you're my Father. What is better than this? So this was kind of continuation to Shavuot, the blessed Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace. Grace. Amen.